It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you.
Welcome to the Anna DeValante Show. Anna is taking the week off. I'm Jisoo Yee filling in. It is the most wonderful time of the year, but it can also be a very difficult time of year for lots of people. So in the first half of the show today, we wanted to give you some resources and maybe give you some advice that will help you get through the next couple of weeks, which can be very difficult up until after New Year's Eve as well. It's a tough time. At least the weather's nice. It's not too cold. You've got that going for you. We're also going to be talking with someone about if you are somebody that faces addiction issues and surviving the holidays, especially if you are a sober person and you have to face all those holiday parties and time with the family and all the stresses as well. But we're going to start off with Dr. Carla Ivankovich. She is the CEO of One Patient Global Health Initiative and also a clinical counselor. And we're so happy to have you in studio. Like I said, the song says it's the most wonderful time of the year. And it truly is. It's a joyful time. Even in the best of circumstances, there are going to be stressors. But if you're somebody that's currently grieving, you've lost a loved one recently, or maybe not so recently, you feel alone. You don't, maybe you've lost your parents and or a sibling, or maybe things are a little divisive when everybody gets together. On top of that, you might have financial concerns. This is a very tough time of year because I think there's an idea of what it should feel like and a vision of what it should look like.
Absolutely. Social media doesn't help us either with that vision. Everything is filtered on social media. So everyone thinks that everyone else is having such a great grand time. And that's not always the case. So all of the things you just mentioned are so profound at this time of year. Between now and Valentine's Day seems to be when it's so highly emotional.
Dr. Carla, I forgot about Valentine's Day. I need to extend this out past Valentine's Day, especially if you feel like you don't have a sweetheart in your life. So yes, this is going to be a tough little stretch, especially if you're having trouble looking at the positive aspects of your life. So what is the number one piece of advice that you give your clients in surviving?
Well, I think that it's twofold. Number one, it is beautiful out right now. And I tell everyone to take advantage of that before you go visit a family, before you go somewhere where you're not certain what the outcome may be like, go for a walk. Spend some time exercising, getting the stressors all worked out. And then when you get there, watch the things that make you feel uncomfortable. Alcohol may be great in small quantities, but it's a stimulant in small quantities. It's a depressant after that, which is guaranteed to bomb any holiday cheer that you may have.
And that's definitely, it's about being cheerful and celebrating. And a lot of times that means a lot of over imbibing and a lot of overeating as well. So you're saying take that little bit of time, take advantage of the nice weather, go out and get some fresh air.
Well, especially if you know you're going into a situation that could potentially be toxic, you really need to step back before you get there and ask yourself, what can I do as self-care before I even walk in the door?
How do you deal with that one relative or the person you know you're going to see at the party? Maybe it can even be a office party. I think most of those are done, but sometimes a lot of offices don't have time to do those parties until after the Christmas holiday. That you know that always knows how to push your buttons and just triggers you. How do you deal with that person?
Well, I think it's better for you to be proactive. You've got to actually set up a plan immediately for how you will deal with that. I tell people in relationships, if you think you're going to run into somebody that might be problematic, before you even get there, have an exit strategy. Maybe when you know your buttons are being pushed, exit to the bathroom, exit to the kitchen, to the basement, to wherever, but exit before you allow it to get to you.
What if you're someone that is dating somebody new and it's time to bring that partner home to meet the family? And that's that already.
Yes, it is.
Just thinking about that stresses me out.
Frightening. I would be proactive on both sides. I would have a conversation with your family ahead of time, but also have a conversation with your partner, because at some point you have no control over either side. You're the person that's walking in the door with the new shiny toy, which may not be received well by either party. So as long as you're proactive, identifying the situations up front, and as long as each of you recognizes that if someone else says something that's out of line, that's not under your control. So keep your relationship strong throughout that time. Speak to one another. You can address the issues, but know that families are families for a reason. That's why we don't choose them. So you choose the person you're with, not the family.
So communication is key.
Absolutely.
But what if you're not so great at communicating? You're shy. You're maybe it's difficult for you to express yourself.
Sure. Yeah.
Is there an alternative way of letting people know what you're going through?
Well, absolutely. Look, as bad of a rap as texting gets, it does also help when you're very shy. It gives you the ability to say something that you wouldn't always have the ability to say up front, and it allows you to do it in a way that gets it off your chest. But I encourage the use of conversation. Sit down and talk about how you feel, because utilizing text or any other mechanism for communicating is also a way that's not it's not sustainable. You're going to have to talk.
Well, I want you to give us one more tip that's going to help us get through the holidays. But I also want to give our number out. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can text or call. Maybe you have a dilemma. Maybe you have a specific issue that is reoccurring every time you see this person or it's time for the holidays, because what Dr. Carla has been so kind enough to agree to do is to stick around with us. And at the end of the show, we'll come back. If we've got some great questions, we've got some great callers or some great text messages, maybe you can address some of those. And we can do that around 1:45.
Sure.
So hopefully, if you're listening right now, give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us. That way we can call you back at 45 after the hour, and she can answer your question and help you out. But one more quick tip about the holidays before we take a break.
Remind yourself that the holidays are only a matter of a few days. And remember that no matter what happens, you will get past this.
So that's similar to "this too shall pass."
Yes, it is. My favorite saying, as my kids would all tell you.
Yes. That's right. Because sometimes when you're in the moment, it feels as though
forever.
It's...
It does.
Say that word again.
Feels forever. Yes, it does.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Carla Ivankovich, who will probably be joining us towards the end of the show. Okay. If you've got some questions and if some callers want to call in, you have a problem, she can help you out with it, because she is the CEO of One Patient Global Health Initiative. Oh, my goodness. Really quickly, what is this awesome nonprofit? Really
That's
quick.
Okay. One Patient Global Health Initiative is a not-for-profit that allows people to receive mental health and physical health care services for free, regardless of their ability to pay.
Well, God bless you. You and your husband started that.
Yes.
Incredible
yes.
nonprofit. Okay, so a lot more coming up, but right now, let's take a break.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Well, maybe not so much here right now, because it's pretty warm, and I saw a guy wearing shorts on my way into work today. And of course, that's got to happen in Chicago. If it's above, what do you think, 20 degrees, 30 degrees? Ashley, what do you think?
I think a lot of people wear shorts, even when it's too cold.
Super cold.
But now that we have a heat wave going on over here, even though it's only 50, a lot more shorts are being spotted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. He had his calves out proud and loud today. We're arming you with some wonderful resources and tools to get you through the holidays. Of course, we had just talked with Dr. Carla Ivankovich. But now we're going to talk with licensed clinical professional counselor Allison Kranich. And we're going to be talking about how the holidays carry a higher risk of relapse, especially for those battling addiction. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being with us on this Christmas Eve.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. A lot of holiday parties, a lot of folks that are trying to get through the holidays without giving in to their addictions, whether it be alcohol or drugs, or I'm sure a whole other variety of, addicted situations that they're going to find themselves in. And it's going to be really hard to have that willpower and the self-discipline to get through it.
Absolutely. I think the holidays are a really stressful time for people who are working to stay sober for multiple reasons. There's a lot of social activities, gifts exchange that involve alcohol. You see a lot of gift sets at the store, parties, trying to decide if you should go or not, pressure from family, from friends. And I think above all that, the holidays bring up a lot of emotions. There's a lot of good emotions, but there's a lot of really uncomfortable emotions for people, whether it be stress, anxiety, depression, loneliness, anger. And a lot of times people perceive alcohol or drugs as a quick way to manage those difficult and uncomfortable emotions.
Do you find that during the holiday season is when people do tend to relapse more?
I think any time where emotions are heightened for people, there's a higher risk of relapse. And so for particular individuals, if they know that the holidays are a more stressful time for them, I think, yeah, there is a higher risk of relapse.
So in your work, what do you tell your clients and patients?
What we talk about is having a plan. So the more you can plan, the more you can be prepared, the better off you're going to be. And that not even involves a plan during a particular event or holiday, but before and after. I think a lot of times people forget that after part, that there can be a lot of emotions to process afterwards. So any sort of plan you have, whether it's having a backup person to call or having someone that you can just sit with and they can keep an eye on you. If you're at a party, being aware of what you're drinking or using, keeping a drink in your hand or watching it being made, avoiding anything that you know is going to trigger you, including people. And then I think just rehearsing your getaway line, so to speak, saying, you know, oh, I have to take off, I have to go here. Just, you know, I think having in mind what you're going to say to help get out of an uncomfortable situation can make it easier to use if needed.
Do you recommend that folks that are battling addiction just come out directly and talk with people and say, hi, I have an addiction issue? Or is it better just to have a plan internally, I guess?
I think that depends on the individual. I think it depends, one, on the individual and who you're with. You know, if you're with very close family and friends, I think that absolutely makes sense to say, hey, I'm not drinking. I'm not using anything right now. For some people, if they're at maybe a work party or a gathering where they're not as close with those people, it may feel very uncomfortable to share what's going on. And so I think it's all about knowing yourself and knowing the situation and being very aware of what's going to be best for you.
I guess the reason why I was asking is I was thinking about my friends who maybe, you know, that aren't battling addiction, but when they initially mm-hmm. find out that they're pregnant, they just don't want to tell everyone the news yet. So then it's always a soda water with a lime or lemon. So it appears as though they're part of the festivities, but really they're not.
I do tell people that a lot. And I know some people don't prefer to do that, but for a lot of people, it's a lot easier to carry a club soda with a lime or something that appears like they are enjoying the festivities or even holding a glass of something that not necessarily indulging in it, just to make them feel more comfortable. For other people, that could be a trigger. It could be a trigger to hold something that looks like a drink. So that's where I think, again, it becomes really important to know yourself and what's going to be best for you.
So Allison, let's say that you are struggling with addiction. You're at a party. You decided to go to this party, you thought you were going to be okay, but in the middle of the party, you realize that you're tempted and your emotions are running high, things aren't going your way, you want to have that drink, but then there's a snowball effect and it's difficult to extricate yourself from that situation. What do you recommend a person do at that point in time?
I think the most important thing is to remember that you don't have to continue to stay in a situation in which you feel like alcohol or drugs might win. And so remembering kind of that step one of AA, that you are powerless over these substances. And so, again, keeping in mind that if you feel like you don't want to be in that situation, you don't have to. And so I think having that mindset first and foremost can be really important. And then deciding, okay, do I want to exit? Do I want to stay? What's going to be best? And kind of feeling that out. I don't think there's anything wrong with stepping out, with, you know, maybe stepping out for a few minutes and seeing, okay, does that feel better? Or should I leave entirely? I think one of the best things people could do in those situations is talk to someone, whether it's calling someone, texting someone, talking to someone in person, but just having someone that you can talk to, who can be supportive, is going to be very, very helpful.
So, Allison, what is your absolute favorite go-to getaway line?
You know, I think one of the best lines you can use is just, I've had a great time. It's been nice to see everyone. I got to take off. I've got a couple more holiday things I need to take care of, and I'll see you all next time. You know, keeping it short, sweet, to the point. You don't owe anyone any details or explanations for why you have to leave. You can just sneak out.
Love that. Thank you so much, Allison Kranich, licensed clinical professional counselor. And where can people find you?
I am in the far northwest suburbs over in McHenry, but throughout all of Northwestern, we have many different counselors and psychologists that can help people with these issues, and they can find us by going online to nm.org.
Well, thank you so much, Allison. So appreciated, and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
All right. It's time now for a break. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. We do have a question with from a listener for Dr. Carla Ivankovich. We started off the show with her. She is the CEO of One Patient Global Health Initiative and a clinical counselor. Of course, we're trying to give everybody some advice and tips to help them get through the holidays. Okay, so this is from 262. I'm having a difficult time moving forward with a partner who has been unfaithful. And of course, I did read that the holidays tends to bring up relationship issues, mm-hmm. and heighten relationship sure. issues. And sure. apparently separations and divorces increase after the holidays as well. So 262 is asking you for any suggestions.
Well, I think first and foremost, you have to make the decision of whether or not this is the person for you. And oftentimes when someone has been unfaithful in a relationship, we tend to cling very tightly because the fear of them leaving at that moment in time is even worse. You have to sit down and decide, sit down and communicate. I would strongly encourage counseling, and because trust is the currency of all relationships. And if you do not have that, you're going to struggle to be able to move forward.
I'm assuming unfaithful means that the partner has strayed mm-hmm. physically from their relationship. Is that something that is always a deal breaker, or have you seen couples come back from it?
I've seen some couples come back from it, but the thing I'm seeing more than straying physically is someone who's straying via social media, the micro-cheating that they're seeing, where that trust is lost because they could be laying next to their partner in bed texting or messaging someone else.
So a micro-cheating, similar to emotional cheating?
Absolutely.
So Absolutely. Maybe nothing physically is happening, but Could the be. Emotions have definitely been unfaithful.
Either way, for a female, women want to be wanted, needed, and valued, and in a relationship to know they're the only one.
Best piece of advice for somebody that's heartbroken. I mean, the holidays, you know, yeah, the holidays are the worst
yes,
to be breaking up or
mm-hmm. it's an emotional
as
time.
As 262 is having this difficult time moving forward, it sounds like they might be mid-breakup or trying to break up. Mm-hmm. Advice that you would give?
Best advice would be you don't want to end one year the way with the baggage that you've carried all year and bring that into the next year. So sit down and ask yourself, what is it that you really want? If you want a reconciliation, then move forward on a reconciliation.
What if you really don't know? How do you find out?
I would encourage the use of a counselor. Counselors can help you process a lot of information. And if you're adamant against not using a counselor, sit down, write it. Write down pros, write down cons, do whatever it takes to discern whether or not this is for you.
Wow, this is good advice. Thanks, Dr. Carla Ivankovich. She's going to be sticking around throughout the show. Thank you, 262. We're thinking about you. We're sending you positive energy to get through the holidays. I really appreciate it. WGN Radio 312-981-7200 for your questions. Right now, it's time for the news.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel.
No Grinches here, because we've been giving you wonderful advice about how to make it through the holidays effortlessly. Well, maybe not effortlessly, but we're arming you with some advice to help you deal with the hard parts of the holidays. And right now, we're going to start with Tech Tuesday. Of course, this is the Anna DeVellante Show, and every Tuesday, she has a tech guru on. And today, we have on Steve Greenberg. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everybody.
Absolutely. You are a award-winning author, TV personality, and expert on innovation and technology. So what do you got for us on Christmas Eve?
Well, I mean, obviously, I hope everybody's done their shopping and now they're ready to spend time with their family. But there's still some last minute running around that you can do for some shopping. And a great tip is to, before you run into a store or go onto an online site, you should Google what you're looking for and then write the word coupon after it. By Googling it with the word coupon, you can find a bunch of really valid coupon codes where you can save 10, 15, maybe even as much as 20% off the product. So I rarely buy anything without first Googling it, putting in the word coupon code or coupon, and seeing what comes up, because you can really find some good deals.
That seems like such a simple thing to do, and I never thought about it before.
It's great, and you won't believe what you find. And sometimes it's actually a little bit of a wormhole, because you'll see something else, and it kind of, you know, takes you from one thing to another. But I've saved some real money, much to my surprise, by just doing that. So it's a simple, easy thing to do. It doesn't involve carrying coupons or any of that stuff. It's just going in there and finding the code out and seeing if you can save some money on the products.
So, Steve, if you've missed the great deals before Christmas, what should we be looking for now? What deals are coming up?
Well, honestly, you know, at this, after Christmas passes, there's some amazing sales usually, because they want to get rid of the stuff. Shipping it back to the manufacturer and whatnot is costly, and they want it out of the store. So they know that the sun is set on this holiday season, and they're going to lower prices dramatically. So you can pick up some great buys. Obviously, anything Christmas-oriented, I mean, most people know the best time to buy Christmas ornaments, Christmas cards, and whatnot for the Christmas of 2020 is to buy it right after Christmas is over, because things get marked down fast. But even things like sweaters and whatnot, you know, Banana Republic and all those stores have really great sales right after the holiday. And again, try Googling with the word coupon or coupon code, because you can find some extra special deals, especially on online stores.
Well, unfortunately, this is a joyful time of year, but there are unfortunately some Grinches out there. So you say there's a lot of scams that we got to look out for.
Absolutely. Probably the biggest scam to be aware of right now are gift cards. So if you're going to buy a gift card, probably the best way is, if you can buy it online, because it's kind of like untouched by human hands. But the ones that you pick up at the cash register, you got to be careful. If that code, that little scrape-off code, has been scraped off or even slightly scraped off, do not take that card. Because once it's been looked at by some bad guys, they might be, you know, grabbing onto it and actually using that money and depleting its value. And then they buy stuff, they end up selling that stuff on the black market and whatnot, and it's just a real cash cow for them. So you need to be really aware of scams with gift cards. It's a huge problem.
So be very vigilant if you're buying a Visa or MasterCard or American Express gift card from a store. You need to really inspect
especially
it.
the kind you pick up at the counter. There's a lot of problems with those, because they go in there, they kind of scrape off the code, get the code, and you need to make sure the one you grab is pristine, that the code in the back is, and even then they can still do things. They can copy that swipe code with a little gadget they can keep in their pocket. The best thing to do is, if you can get your gift card online, which you can very often, but again, now we're kind of at the last minute, but if you can, you know, you go online, order it that way, and this way the card that shows up is pristine. It went right from the company, and usually there are less hands that have touched it, so it's more than likely a safe option.
Well, Steve, I think this is good advice, especially because I think at this point people are frantically buying gift cards because they haven't bought anything yet.
I was reading a study that said 70% of Americans buy gift cards. That's a huge number of gift cards. And frankly, you know, when you don't know what to get somebody, but you want to show that you put some thought into it, you know, you go with a gift card. I'm a big believer, and I just had to give out some gifts to, you know, people who work in my building and whatnot, and I did something very old school. I put in actual cash in an envelope and handed it to them, and they seemed pretty happy with that. So that's, you know, cash still does work. Cash is king still. So
did they know what it was? I mean, did they recognize it, some of the millennials?
Yeah. People are like, what is that? But no, it works everywhere in the U.S. It's really, really easy to find. You can go to a bank and get it. And it's just a really great way. And again, I wouldn't do it if you're mailing it. That would be a big mistake. But if you're handing it to somebody, there's nothing like good old American greenbacks.
Now, you said there's some tech that we need to also be vigilant about. You said outsiders.
It made some news, so it's worth kind of maybe reiterating. Like this case, it was the Ring video camera. So a lot of folks are going to be getting video cameras this time of year. It's a great gift. I have them in my home, and I really like them. But you need to make sure that when you go in there, you don't put in a simple password like 12345, or the most common password is the word password.
That's
what everybody. So yeah, you want to keep away from that. You want something complicated. You want capitals and small letters and numbers and letters and a couple of signs, a dollar sign there, a question mark, something to make it look, so it's just not easily picked through. And the other thing too is, in most of these these video cameras, you have the option when you're setting it up with your smartphone to click something called 2FA, and that means two-factor authorization. That is authentication, I think it is. That means it takes like a double password for someone to get into it, and that's what you want. You want to make it as tough as possible for someone on the outside to get in. And by the way, everything on your Wi-Fi network should have tough passwords, and you should really get into the habit of changing the password every once in a while, because if they can get into your video doorbell, they can then get into your camera. Once you can get into your Wi-Fi network, they can, really bad guys can kind of go through other of your connected devices. So the best thing to do is, one, maybe have a firewall on your router, which is easy to buy, and the second thing after that is to make sure you do 2FA with two-factor authorization and authentication, and also making the passwords really, really tricky. Don't go 12345 or password or the name of the dog. All those things are easy to get through. The name of the dog, for example, which is used a lot. You go on your Facebook page, you've mentioned Whiskey or whatever his name is 50,000 times. Everybody knows the name of your dog. You don't want to put that out, or the name of your kids or your grandchildren. Don't use that. Instead, do something more complicated, make sure you remember what it is. But also, these are a lot of our other devices will remember those passwords for you, so you don't have to make. But make it complicated. Don't make it easy.
So with this video camera that outsiders are hacking into, they're hacking into it to then infiltrate the rest of the systems that are on your Wi-Fi in your home.
Exactly. They're either doing it, one, just to harass and bother you, because in the case of that camera, there was two-way audio, so they could actually say bad things, and it can that's pretty scary. But also, once they're in your system, they can start looking at other things and unlocking doors and whatnot, and really, really checking out the house for a possible robbery. They might even get into even more stuff, like it's theoretically possible to get into your checking accounts and whatnot. It's really important that you have a firewall on your Wi-Fi. I'd say the big push in tech going into 2020 is going to be privacy and security, because that's where we went in for this convenience, and that was the big word a couple of years ago. Now we have convenience, but it's also convenient for the crook. So we have to kind of step back and think privacy and security. And you're going to see more of that. I'm going to the Consumer Electronics Show the first week of January, and I know for a fact, just seeing the press releases that are coming into me right now, the big push is privacy, security, because these devices are super handy, very convenient, but at the same time, they do open you up. And it's, like having leaving your front door open, which you'd never do. It's the same kind of thing.
So just in case someone's listening right now, because you are our tech guru, what is there a last-minute tech gift that somebody can buy if they're listening right now and they're frantically at the big box store looking for something?
Well, we just talked about cameras. And again, I'm a big fan of them because they are easy to set up. And as long as you put in really complicated passwords, I think for the most part you're safe. I'm loving, I have, and I'm crazy about the Echo products and the Google products, the Google Assistant and the Alexa. I have them. I use them all the time. I love being able to say their name and have them play Shirley Bassey or whatever music I care to listen to, and all of a sudden that music happens. I listen to my podcast on them. I get my weather. news. I know it's a little competition for WGN, but it's a really handy resource. All you do is just, you know, say what you want, and it shows up for the most part. I've actually tried out both Alexa and Google Assistant, and for my money, Google Assistant is a little bit better. It's a little bit more intuitive. Alexa requires you to say things in a very specific way for her to truly get what you're talking about, whereas Google Assistant seems to kind of go with the flow a little bit, because I never remember the right way of saying something, and yet that assistant seems to follow me a lot better. The nice thing about Amazon is that if you have Amazon Prime, you have access to so much more music than you have with Google. So for the unpaid version of the Google Assistant, you get a lot more if you already have the paid version of Amazon's product because of Amazon Prime. So that's kind of like how I would get. And price-wise, they're about the same. And I guess if the person already has one, kind of stay with the same format. So if they're already doing Alexa and Echo, then that's what you maybe should get them. So this way they have it in their bedroom and also in the kitchen, whatnot. And now they make them with screens. So it's not just a speaker. It also has, you can watch YouTube clips on it. And when it's playing music, you can see the album cover. And I think it's a great gift. So that would be my last-minute pickup for someone if you really want to wow them.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. This has been Tech Tuesday with Steve Greenberg, who's an award-winning author and also an expert on innovation and technology. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much. And can I add one more thing? If we have a moment.
Sure.
If people go to my Instagram account, which is Steve Greenberg, and that's B-E-R-G, Instagram, Steve Greenberg, I always, like once a week or so, I put up gadgets that I give them away. So if you enter and just follow a couple of rules, costs you nothing, you can get some free gadgets. So it may not make it for this year's Christmas, but maybe for next year or a birthday coming up, check out my Instagram account, Steve Greenberg. I'm giving away free stuff.
Well, so everybody loves free stuff. Thanks, Steve.
Who doesn't? Okay, well, take care. Thank you. Happy holidays.
You as well. A lot more coming up right here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and
enjoy. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. This is Jisuke filling in for Anna. Hope you're having a wonderful day as you finish errands, or maybe you're already relaxing and enjoying family time or cooking, getting ready for tonight. We have been talking today not only about tech. We just finished talking with Steve Greenberg. Tech Tuesdays here, always on Tuesdays with Anna DeVellante. But we've also been giving you advice and information that maybe will make it a little bit easier for you to get through the hard parts of the holidays. Our number here is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And Dr. Carla Ivankovich, who is the CEO of the nonprofit One Patient Global Health Initiative and a clinical counselor, is going to be with me for the next 10 minutes. And if you call in now, we can help you with your dilemma or problem, something specific or something maybe that happens every year when you're with your family. But before we start talking about that, I wanted to give you some fun facts. So, Carly, you want some fun facts about the holidays?
I would love them.
Did you know that eggnog most likely originated in medieval times? Are you an eggnog fan?
I am not an eggnog fan.
Ryan Burrow, are you an eggnog fan?
No.
What is wrong with you people?
You'd have to have a lot of alcohol in that thing.
Well, yes. George Washington, by the way, had a famous super boozy eggnog recipe. He enjoyed serving eggnog during Christmas at Mount Vernon, and it was one of his favorite concoctions. The recipe now is circulated very widely today. You can find it on mentalfloss.com. Even though Washington forgot to include the number of eggs needed in the recipe, there's a lot of cream, there's milk. Definitely can't drink this if you're lactose intolerant, but there's sugar, there's brandy, rye whiskey, Jamaican rum, sherry.
Wow.
And then, of course, eggs.
Where was he getting Jamaican rum from? Where was George Washington getting Jamaican rum from?
I have a feeling that George Washington can get whatever he wanted. I think so.
Well, that was his wife's house anyways. That was his wife's family's house in Mount Vernon. So maybe she had it in the back somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Dwight Eisenhower also was a proponent of a boozy nog. our 34th president's favorite way to de-stress was to cook, according to the National Journal. And his recipe also had a lot of bourbon in it as well, along with half and half. Now, maybe you don't drink eggnog, but when Starbucks removed the eggnog latte from its holiday menu, there were so many complaints. Starbucks dropped eggnog latte from its offerings in 2014, and then there was so much customer backlash, that's why you can find it on the menu today. So I'm guessing no one's a taker. Ashley, no one's a taker on the eggnog latte?
Eggnog's all right.
It never took off like pumpkin spice, right?
That's very true.
You gotta work the pumpkin guys. The pumpkin lobby's been strong for years. The egg lobby just hasn't been as strong, right. at least in the beverage department.
It just sounds like eggnog.
Oh my goodness! You know? I need to get you guys really good, fresh from the farm eggnog.
I thought she was
really
gonna say
great.
We need to get you really, really. I didn't know where she was going with that.
Also very boozy, really good spiked eggnog. Okay, so everyone loves It's a Wonderful Life. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't love it. But here's a couple of fun facts about It's a Wonderful Life, a wonderful holiday movie that everyone loves and watches with their family. Did you know that it wasn't going to be Jimmy Stewart in the beginning? They wanted to have Cary Grant as the lead actor. And I thought this was apropos, especially with how hot it is. Well, warm it is. Well, for us, this is considered hot. It is right now. It's a Wonderful Life was shot during a heat wave. It was shot in the summer of 1946 in the midst of a heat wave.
So it wasn't cold to jump in the river then? It wasn't that bad, I guess.
No, it wasn't. Okay. Yeah. In fact, they had to shut down filming for a day because the temperatures were so bad. Also, Frank Capra, the director engineered a new kind of movie snow for It's a Wonderful Life. And the FBI saw the movie and they didn't like it. In 1947, the FBI issued a memo noting the film as a potential communist infiltration of the motion picture industry.
Huh.
Yeah.
The FBI had issues back then.
I love David's voice coming in.
Just serious issues back in the day. They were a little weird.
And did you know that it bombed when it opened at the box office? It actually left Capra in debt over $500,000. And that wonderful gym floor turned swimming pool, that was real. So there you go.
I wonder, that movie, it starts off really slow, in my opinion. Like, yeah. I feel like it progresses quickly, but it's like, oh my gosh, this movie's an hour in and we haven't even hit some of the good parts yet.
Well, you better not tell Dean Richards that because, Ashley, who does he have on the show coming up?
He has Zuzu on.
Okay.
Zuzu's still alive.
All right. Yep. I'm going to let Dean talk to you, Ryan. You're going to be in big trouble.
No, I'm
going to
go
line.
Hide.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have a caller right now for Dr. Carla. So, hello. Is this Peter?
Yes, it is. Hi, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Dr. Carla is here. Why don't you tell us what your dilemma is over the holidays?
So the dilemma is my mom's sister, brother, and his wife, Pam. They bought a house in Florida, and they announced that they're going to be retiring in a couple of years. Of course, they're getting older, which is fine. But they announced to their family that this is probably going to be the last year in Chicago because now they're going to start celebrating the holidays among themselves in Florida. And it's just a lot to take in. How do you deal with that type of situation? I know you can go and visit them, but it's not going to be the same here in Chicago. I was just wondering how you deal with something like that.
So they just basically told you this news without prepping you. So you were caught off guard and surprised?
I wasn't surprised, but it's just the feeling. It's like it's not going to be the holidays anymore. It's just, you know, it wasn't a surprise. I knew it was going to come, but you still have those emotions like, part of the family's mad that they're just going to get up and go. You know, it's just, I don't know, it just kind of happened.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a little concern that you're going to be lonely here during the holidays because it'll just be you. So,
well, I have the wife and her family, but this is the family I grew up by. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to let go. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's very difficult. And really, the only real advice that I can give you is to talk to your family and express to them the importance of having them in your life and the fact that now that they will be gone, it will be something that you miss. And hopefully that all of you will be able to come to some kind of resolution where you can share the holidays still with one another.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Oh, wait, Peter, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to have a follow-up?
No, I'm just saying they said we're kind of selfish because they have the right to live their own lives. It's just, you know, I don't think I'm being selfish. It's just, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's selfish. I think it's a struggle to have had a family around for all of your life, and then to not have them there can be devastating.
Well, thank you, Peter. Right. We hope you cope and get through the holidays and you're able to communicate with your family. I think we have time for one more caller. It's got to be about a minute. Hello. Hello, how are you? Oh, I lost the caller. Ashley, do we have... Oh, okay. Got it. We lost the caller. Sorry, Dr. Carla. Okay. But let's talk about the in-laws really quick. You have about a minute left.
Yeah. More often than not, I hear stories of struggle about people having to spend time with their in-laws. Either they never feel that they're good enough, they feel that they're always being judged, etc. And my suggestion is to unify as a couple before you go over there. I'm really big on the plan B. Have a plan where each of you can communicate with each other via text, whatever the case is, to where if either one of you need an out, you're there to protect one another during that time.
And the person that's related to the folks should be on your side, right?
Yeah,
not on the side of the in-laws.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, look, they're the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, so you better figure it out.
Well, thank you so much to Dr. Carla Ivankovich. We hope that her advice will help you get through this next week. It's been fantastic to have you throughout the show.
Thank you so much.
And answering listeners' questions. She's the CEO of One Patient Global Health Initiative and a clinical counselor. Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. This is Jisuke for the Anna DeVellantes Show. See you next time.